Beautiful. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Today is Thursday, February 5th, 2015. I'm opening a work session in the Joint Committee on Ways and Means Subcommittee on General Government. And we will begin with Ms. Toe talking to us about what we're seeing today.
Okay, Chair Steiner Hayward, members of the committee. The only item you have before you today is today's work session is a report for your acknowledgement of receipt. The report is the LFO review of 12 semi-independent agencies. I'll cover the background and the framework for this report, and then John's going to give you the actual substantial stuff, the actual findings of our review. So the Oregon legislature looked at the semi-independent model in 1991 and granted two agencies the status of semi-independence. And since then, we now have 15 semi-independent agencies. And of those 15, only 12 of them are subject to this review and this report. And so all the semi-independent agencies we're looking at today are self-funded. They're fully supported by income from licensing application fees and grants and other program revenue. And these 12 are not, their budgets are not subject to executive branch review or approval or modification by the Legislative Assembly. But they are subjected to other things like they have their personnel information has to go through DAS. And they have to participate in the state PERS program, and they adhere to public record meetings and all of that. But as a way of having a little more oversight for these 12 agencies, there's the legislature introduced in 2005 legislation requiring this review. So every 2 years, starting in 2006, LFO review these agencies, and they are required to submit certain information that's outlined in statute, and John's going to go over them in more detail for you. And so once they submit this information, we review them for completeness and compliance. And as part of the review, we email them, we call them, we go visit their offices to ask questions, collect missing information, and provide feedback and propose recommendations for the practices. And so that's the framework for the report. And then John's going to tell you what we found in our review.
Mr. Turpening.
Chair Steiner Hayward, members of the subcommittee, John Turpening with the Legislative Fiscal Office. As Kim mentioned, this is the fifth semi-independent report that LFO has done and the third that Kim and I have worked on. The statute requires agencies to report certain things. I'm going to outline what those things are and then just give you some brief highlights if there's anything with those items. So the five major components that are required, the first one is a copy of the most recent audit or financial report. So 10 of the 12 agencies submitted a financial report, a financial review, excuse me. One of them chose to stay with an audit, and then the 12th agency is the Citizens Initiative Review Commission. They weren't established till July 1 of 2013, and the audit and financial review period covers the 11-13 biennium, so they're outside of the reporting period. In general, all of the audits and financial reviews came back that agencies were had adequate controls in place. The second major component is the budget to actual information for the prior biennium. This is the 11-13 biennium again, and then adopted budget for 13-15. These 12 agencies, the budgets range from $300,000 to $3.5 million. All 12 agencies performed under budget for 11-13. Revenues exceeded projections for six of the 12, which is a positive. In the past biennium, revenues have been going down, probably reflection of the depressed economy with some of these licensing boards. In the 13-15 budget, 11 of the 12 agencies have some budget increases. Changes above standard inflation include the cost of employee salaries and benefits, legal fees, and then some have specific investments to upgrade telephone and computer systems. In the report, you'll find Appendix A and B that has a summary of the operations and budget to actual figures for all the agencies. And then in Appendix B, we also have individual agency summaries, and these are similar to what LFO produces for state agencies when we do the legislatively adopted budgets. The third component that's required is a description of rules adopted by the board in the prior biennium. All the agencies have provided the appropriate documentation and are complying with those requirements. And the fourth is a description of board actions promoting consumer protection. Again, all the agencies have provided the appropriate documentation. The fifth and final piece that's one of the major components is licensing information. So 9 of the 12 boards are licensing boards. And the three that are not are the Patient Safety Commission, the Wine Board, and, of course, the Citizens Initiative Review Commission. In addition to the licensing information, they also provide details on the number of applicants, examinations conducted, and then also complaints and investigations and the results of those investigations. Five of the nine for our licensees, had increases in the last biennium to this previous biennium. So we're looking at the 09-11 numbers to 11-13. Corresponds with the increase in revenue. Four had slight declines in the overall licensees, still trying to build those bases back up to where they had been in previous biennium. During the 11-13 biennium, only two agencies increased existing fees, while two agencies implemented new fees for new services. And then in the 13-15 biennium, the current biennium we're in, no agencies had any budgeted fee increases. You'll find in Appendix C of our report an example of the licensing and enforcement activity requirements that we have agencies provide, and that helps keep a continuity as it goes back a number of biennium as we've done this report to maintain continuity among what they're reporting. That was an issue when we first started this. Additionally, Appendix D will show you the reporting guidelines that LFO has created over the last couple reports. These are updated for 2016, so you'll see what agencies have been reporting and what they're going to be required to report again. LFO has three recommendations within the report. The first is to continue following the updated reporting guidelines, which are in Appendix D. The second recommendation is to document procedures for collecting and reporting licensing and enforcement data. We get the numbers, but sometimes especially if there's changeover in administration of these small boards, they don't know how they got to those numbers the previous time. So we want them to document how are you tracking this information and then include that in their report to us. And the third and final recommendation is to include an organizational chart with a biannual report, including a description of any position or FTE changes. We realized we didn't have a requirement for that in our report already, so we want to see if there's any changes structurally to the agency. And unless there's any questions, that concludes my section.
Before we take questions, which I'm more than happy to do, and I know Mr. Turpening and Ms. Toe will be, I just want to clarify, this is one of the more confusing things we do in Ways and Means. There are a series of required reports that we have set up by statute, as Mr. Turpening and Ms. Toe explained to us, and all that that Ways and Means does, we don't question the validity of the report. We can ask questions to clarify the work that LFO has so overall ably done, I think, and to understand these reports better. If we have the agencies themselves that are submitting required reports, we can ask them questions about the detail. But ultimately, when we vote, all we're saying is, yep, you gave us the report. So I just want to be really clear about that before we get any further. So you can ask any questions you want, but that's our job here. So just to be clear. Senator Whitsitt.
Yes, thank you. John, I had several questions. All the employees of these agencies are public employees, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Do these agencies have a Department of Justice component, or are they represented, or is there legal fees on this?
Chair Steiner Hayward, Senator Whitsitt, yes, these agencies, they do have to comply with Attorney General Department of Justice rules, and they go through them for their opinions. Okay. And things.
You've been doing this for several years now, and we're still trying to get them to provide licensing and enforcement data. Do you need some help on that?
Chair Steiner Hayward, Senator Whitsitt, no. It's just our challenge has been making sure that the numbers stayed consistent, especially if there was a changeover in the executive director or other staff within the board. So I think, I don't want to speak for Kim, but I think we have a good handle on consistency with reporting now.
And then there are seven agencies here that are budgeting significantly more money than they're taking in, spending more than they're taking in, and the ending balances are going down. There's also a couple of those agencies where the revenue has been pretty flat for about a decade. We know that the cost of public employees goes up. So what's going on there?
Senator Steiner-Hayward, Senator Whitsitt, a lot of these agencies had some significant ending balances when we first started doing the report. And you notice that there's not a lot of fee changes. So they're spending down those ending balances that they had built up previous years.
Mm-hmm. So that in the future we're going to see probably going to be seeing some fee increases as those ending balances dwindle. Then
I would anticipate in a couple of reports, probably a couple years from now, I would anticipate some.
Okay, if you'll indulge me one more question. The Paint Safety Commission has tripled its FTE and its budget in the last few years. Can you tell us a little more about that?
I can cover that if you want.
Okay.
Chair Steiner-Hayward and Senator Whitsitt, because that's the one I did the analysis on. The Patient Safety Commission, they work mostly on grants and through contracts with agencies like the Oregon Health Authority. So if they have a grant to do something that it also requires staff, then they hire additional staff, and usually it's a contract with OHA. And then when that grant runs out, those are limited duration positions, and they would move on. And so that's one of the reasons. One of our recommendation is for the agencies to include an organizational chart and have a discussion about their FTE so that we can have a clearer picture of what's been going on when the changes, like for an organization like the Patient Safety, which is a little bit different than these licensing agencies.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions? Representative Nathanson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Piqued by LFO's recommendation that procedures be improved for data collection and description. So what that did is that prompted me to take a step back. Well, what data? What exactly are they reporting, and what's the purpose of collecting the data? Could you talk to us for a few minutes about I'm particularly interested in data that demonstrates the usefulness of having this kind of agency in protecting consumers or patients or whatever the individual. I'm interested in the public interest, if you will. So are there standards from one agency to another where we can tell whether they're collecting over time? How many complaints are there about the agency itself, you know, the way it's managed, mm-hmm. versus how many complaints are there about the activity that's going on in the state, the economic activity, the medical service provided, the whatever the thing was that they're overseeing? Two different kinds of complaints. And then what happens? I presume that in addition to responding to an individual issue, someone at some point should be spotting there's a pattern here. There used to be 5 complaints a year about this problem. Now there's 25 complaints a year about this problem. Is it really getting worse, or is it just a one-time anomaly? Is there some fix we need? How do we find out about those things? Where does that data go? Or are they doing anything with it?
Senator Steiner-Hayward, Representative Nathanson, that's exactly what's our concern when we started looking at this data, because the statute only required that the agency report the number of license applications, licenses issued, the examines, number of exams conducted, the average time that it took to between application and issuance of license, and then types of complaints and the types of investigation and type of resolutions. And it gave no other guidelines about, you know, anything except as Hannah's this list of numbers. So what we did in our guidelines for the agencies was to say, you need to document how you collect this number. You need to document and have that be something that you know, stays with the agency even if the director leaves. And so that when we ask questions, like the questions you're asking, saying, you know, what happened between this year for this number to spike or for it to drop, they can answer it, because for the first report we received, they said, we have no idea because we weren't here. And so we said, well, that's not very useful information. So that's why we're saying, along with this report, you have to tell us how it was conducted and how it was collected, and then explain to us why there are spikes or drops, or explain the change in data thoroughly. And John, do you want to add anything?
Chair Steiner, Hayward, Representative Nathanson. I don't think we have, we collect the numbers and we collect the, in general, the types of complaints, but they're not they don't reflect numbers that are complaints about the agency themselves. And they often don't say this complaint was about this specific problem, so we can see that. So we don't have data that tracks specific to your question. That would be something we could look into, getting numbers from agencies on that data, but that's not something that we collect. We collect more of these complaints are a certain type, and they're generally about another licensee or a contract that went bad between a licensee and an individual, that kind of thing.
A follow-up, please?
Certainly.
Thank you. This is a real variety of types of agencies, everything from the wine board to the board of optometry, with different sorts of implications on the public interest generally or on an individual's life. So do these reports, is there a more specific report that goes to a policy committee so that there is someone looking at, looking in more detail, so that we should just focus on data collection systems and revenue and expenditures? Is someone looking at this other stuff in the public interest?
I believe there was, I don't know if it was a committee or a task force last biennium that was looking at gathering the health boards for these agencies, but I don't think there is any formal report.
Well, I'm just getting more curious the more I ask.
It's fine. Representative Nathan said it represents a concern that I have, especially about licensing boards. On the one hand, yes, they get all their revenue from fees. On the other hand, they're acting in the state's interest. And so, for example, there's an application this year for the Oregon Medical Board to go semi-independent. And I'm in a sort of tough position on that one since I'm a licensee of that board. But in general, I think I have the same concerns that you do about these boards going semi-independent when they are doing things. I mean, we need our architects to be trained properly. We need our optometrists to be trained properly. I have very mixed feelings about this one, but it's been a decision that the state has made over the 1991, did you say, Ms. Toe? Since 1991, we've allowed a total of 15 boards to go independent, and three of them still have state oversight of their budgets. I believe that the medical board's application includes ongoing oversight of its budget, so it would not fall under this. But I have mixed feelings. It's like public corporations. I have mixed feelings about public corporations too. Either you're public or you're private. The hybrid stuff. Public-private partnerships are one thing. Public corporations, I have trouble wrapping my head around.
Well, one brief follow-up.
Please.
Oversight over a budget is different than oversight over the activity. But as I reflect on this for the first time in today's discussion, I think if a constituent said to me something like, well, you all license, they're going to say we do,
mm-hmm.
You all license the architects in this building is clearly defective, you know, the wall fell down or it's got mold or something. You license architect examiners, you license, let's pick another one, the appraisers, you know, there was something that went wrong. And I believe if a constituent raised an issue with me and said, well, you licensed them, you allowed to be licensed them, what are you doing on our behalf to protect us? If we just take a step back and it appears that we have some responsibility, but we don't exercise it.
So
what's our liability here?
You raise some really important points. I would say this. We do, I believe, and I'd have to go back and check in statute, but we do set requirements for licensure in statute. Those are not decided, I don't believe, independently by these licensing agencies. You're shaking your head. You disagree with me?
I'm agreeing with you.
Good. Ms. Toe agrees with me. So we do have oversight in that regard. So if somebody was not licensed according to the standards that are set in statute, then that licensing agency is clearly not. We still appoint their directors. We still appoint their boards. So we do have oversight, or more accurately, the executive director in general serves at the pleasure of the board, and the governor appoints the board. So we have oversight in that regard, and they are following licensing standards that are set forth in statute. So I do think that we have that measure of engagement and have taken a responsibility to make sure our standards are adequate and consistent with national standards for these professions or businesses. Representative Hurd.
Madam Co-Chair, I have a quick, I think you answered it earlier, but I wanted to know if I needed to declare my conflict of interest since I'm a licensed landscape contractor issued by the LCB, which is listed here.
Thank you for asking that question. In general, if you're part of a large class, then you don't need to declare a conflict of interest. If, I mentioned that I was a physician. I'm one of 14,000 licensed physicians in the state, so I don't have a conflict of interest when we're talking about the medical board, nor, I believe, do you. We're aware that you're a landscape contractor, so we're not going to worry about it too much. But I don't think that's a large enough class that, I mean, if you've been having trouble with the licensing board, then we might have to have a conversation about it. But otherwise, no, I don't think so. Thanks for asking. Other questions for Mr. Turpening or Ms. Toe? Okay, do we have a motion?
Yes. Madam Chair, I move LFO's review of semi-independent agency reports to the full committee with a recommendation to acknowledge receipt of this report.
Thank you. Representative Nathanson moves LFO's review of semi-independent agency reports to the full committee with a recommendation to acknowledge receipt of this report. Before we finish up on this one, I would just like to commend Ms. Toe and Mr. Turpening for their diligence. I don't think they underplayed, I think, the amount of work that they put into it. And if you want to see what a great job LFO does in helping us understand this, if you have not already looked at page 34 of this 41-page report where they've actually got little text boxes that explain why certain things happen, that is a really great example of what a great job they do. Any further discussion? Any opposition? Ms. Jensen, if you would note that Co-Chair Smith, Senator Johnson, and Representative Comp are excused, I'd be grateful. Okay. And I need a carrier. Representative Nathanson, you want to take this to full? Thank you. So moved. Okay. Any other business before us, ladies and gentlemen? We're adjourned. Go enjoy your free hour and 4 minutes.